Welcome back to Voices from the Frontline, 90.7 in Los Angeles, 98.7 in Santa Barbara. This is KPFK. On the line right now, we have Sushma Sheth. How are you doing today?
Very good.
So Sushma is an organizer for the Miami Worker Center, and they just got done with a battle to trying to get folks, independent observers, into the polling booths. So one of the things that we're talking about on and Voices on the Front Lines is really trying to talk about people who are actually doing work on the ground, what are they learning, and kind of where are they going to take the lessons that they learned from particular campaigns and move on. So I want to see if you can just start out briefly by telling us a little bit about the campaign and kind of what you learned from it.
All right. Well, as you're speaking, by the way, we have a number of our members from the Workers Center and Lyft, Low-Income Families Fighting Together, who were able to kind of sneak into Clinton's address here in Miami. And so it's just been pretty typical, a circus of different personalities, both from both parties in politics who've been coming through the city. Been very interesting. But generally, the program of the Worker Center has basically been to take action with response to the stolen elections here in 2000 and really respond to what's been happening here in the community and politically in this moment. And so we kicked off the Take Back the Vote program earlier at the beginning of the summer, initially doing a round of voter registration and kind of popular education around the history of the right to vote and the current electoral process. We also continued a campaign that we had started in 2002 with the midterm elections to have independent election observers be able to come in and observe elections here in Miami, given the crisis of the democratic right to vote. And so that was the second piece that we had been running. Another thing that we are doing at this point after the registration has happened is actually we're doing a level of street outreach and popular theater in the community that we work in, which is Liberty City, again, raising not only the need to vote in this time, but also really looking at historically the struggle for the right to vote and how that right has often been attacked or compromised, and how we need to use this time to not only think about the power of the community to vote, but beyond that, the power of the community, period, and its ability to organize and get even more power. And so talking about the other organizing campaigns and stuff we do during the rest of the year.
So who lives in Liberty City?
Liberty City is predominantly African-American. It's one of, like, three historic African-American communities in Miami. And basically all three are also under attack and being significantly gentrified. But this is one of them.
What exactly is – there's a lot of talk about voter protection. I wasn't clear from what you said. What are you doing exactly to protect the vote right now? And what are other people doing? Why don't you tell about your own work and the – so, you know, the broad United Front of Progressive Forces, what are the different tactics out there? What's really happening? Give us a feel for the ground in Miami right now.
There's been a slow kind of escalation in terms of that. I think there's been a lot of initial voter registration work. And then since then, we here were holding election defense trainings, so particularly talking to folks about what is supposed to happen on the polls, but what to look out for, what we're some of the tactics and kind of obstacles thrown in the way of voters into the 2000 election, and helping people basically be active and defensive voters this time around, and also to be able to kind of create a network of folks that communicate if anything does happen. However, in addition to that, there's, I mean, basically fleets of lawyers and monitoring groups that are sending folks down, principally People for the American Way, but many other groups who are coming in. The catch, of course, is their access to the electoral process, and that's basically been stunted in two ways. So one of those is that the county and the county elections department haven't explicitly provided access to monitoring groups, which has been some of our conversations with them.
You mean access inside the polls?
Inside the polls.
As opposed to outside.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And so most of the people who are coming in are doing kind of outside monitoring, which is about 50 feet away from the polls, who are doing kind of, initial and exit kind of surveying, but nothing really inside. I guess the second and the other obvious limit on monitoring is the actual electronic system. And so there's less of an ability to at least initially monitor how the votes are being cast, how they're being counted, and also with the lack of a paper record or paper receipt, it's going to affect also what level of recount that people can actually observe and monitor.
So in terms of, is the majority of the precincts there with the electronic voting without the paper trail, or are they also still punch cards? Or
there are no punch cards anymore. It's this county, it's all electronic. And then only if people don't show up at the specific polling station or on the registration list, and they're provided a paper provisional ballot.
And so then the other thing that I thought was pretty interesting, there actually are people who are allowed inside the polls.
Yes.
And what do you have to be, what kind of a special ID card do you have to be to do that?
At this point, you are able to enter the polls if you are a poll worker, if you're within the elections department, and if you are a poll watcher. And currently the definition for poll watchers is someone who's either part of a partisan campaign, I'm sorry, a partisan group, so either either of the parties, or part of a specific candidate's campaign. And they can identify who their poll watchers would be, and those have to be basically revealed a week before the elections and then taken through a process with the elections department. One of our initial kind of pushes had been to actually see if we could manipulate that definition to be broadened to allow for, independent or community-based groups to also be considered poll watchers and then be given access in, but there was no real ability or movement on that given the time and the kind of bureaucratic process needed to change the county code on it.
Did the Democrats want that?
Did the Democrats want that?
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to get it passed, you know, if you want nonprofit or nonpartisan, one of the partisan parties at least has to want to fight for it. Did the Democrats want to fight for nonpartisan observers?
There was no real response since our process had started from either of the parties specifically to that issue. So that's unclear. What is interesting is one of the more liberal commissioners on the county commission who had voted in favor of independent election observers in 2002. This year was appointed to the canvassing board, which would specifically oversee the elections. And she specifically actually spoke against allowing monitors to come in and actually said that, in many ways was putting forward that a lot of the reformers or the supposed people coming with the solution were becoming more and more of the problem, and it was becoming more and more cumbersome. The only other statement that we've seen directly from, another group would actually be Jeb Bush just yesterday put out a statement. So that's the governor of Florida. He put out a statement basically saying that monitors and the press were harassing poll workers and basically the process of voting. And has actually been putting a major push against a lot of presence of monitors and other groups to observe the process.
One thing I wanted to ask you, Sushma, is that, you know, we talk a lot about, in the abstract, about what we believe and everything. What's it like going out to talk to real black people in the community? What's the attitude about the election, about their rights, about the stolen election? Are there people that are more discouraged and don't want to fight? Are there civil rights groups involved? Give us a feel for what's going on the ground.
Well, it's definitely been a very dramatic process. I think you have two things going on. One is the recognition of, community recognition of stolen and disregarded votes. This is precisely the community where a lot of people either saw that voting machines were lost or stolen, or votes were trashed, but then also were aware of the purge list and things like that. So there's a lot of disenchantment on that front. In addition to that, Florida is one of the states where specifically if you are a convicted felon, your voting rights are taken from you. And so when we've actually been out on the street talking to folks, a large percentage of the people we talk to are, know it and are kind of upset and put forward that they can't vote because of that that law that remains here in Florida. And so it's interesting to see the many ways, in fact, the disenfranchisement is playing out here in this community. But at the same time, I think there's a very real response to the war, and there's a very real response to the state of the economy and specific social programs like affordable housing, Medicaid, Social Security, and things like that. And so that's also elicited in some people a very strong response to want to vote. And so those are the kind of like the different kind of responses that we've been receiving. I think on the regular, though, people, one of the first things that comes out of people's mouth is definitely, how do I know it's not going to count? And so most of the rhetoric in terms of groups that have been doing voter registration and in terms of the parties here has been, you know, every vote will be counted, every vote will be counted as a level of assurance, even though obviously the policy and programs behind that are less less clearly committed to that.
So, Sushma, in terms of the whole disenfranchisement stuff, what has there been a move to actually get those people reinstated that were disenfranchised? That's one question. And the other piece was around the felony disenfranchisement of folks who are felons from other states. Are they still being pulled off the list in Florida?
There's been basically a 2-3 year campaign in terms of the American Civil Liberties Union to raise the issue of the purge list, as well as to work with folks to get voting rights restored. And so there's been a whole bunch of legal actions that have been taking place at the state level, and some actually have been pushed or at least supported by the national ACLU, as well as a number of kind of local workshops where people can come in and kind of get the process started to get their voting rights restored. From our understanding of how that process has proceeded, there's actually been significant legal gains, and one of the actual aspects of the list had actually been dropped just a couple of months ago. But there's still a lot of kind of there's still a lot of processes that haven't completely been cleared to make it much more easier for people to be for people to have their voting rights. Or there's still been problems in the notification of people who basically people being notified if they are or not considered the next felon, or if they are or if their vote are instated or not. So there's some like these middle kind of processes that haven't been worked out. In terms of the workshops and getting out and talking to folks, unfortunately, it's been really difficult. I don't think there's been a real organizing angle to it. There's been some public notices and workshops that have been minimally attended, and so that's a gaping need that, you know, we've understood as well. And I think that there's been, again, like, you know, spot workshops and one-stop shops to kind of get some people in the door, but no real kind of political or mass-level push to look at this, the issue even more seriously, or to really kind of galvanize people to get involved in that process.
Okay, Sushma, wanted to ask you one last question, and then maybe we can get some information on how people can get more information on what you're doing. Wanted to talk to you about the election day, because I was hearing that there are a couple of things that you guys were planning in case people were being turned down the right to vote. So if you can speak a little about that.
Sure. A couple of things. One is that on the eve of the elections, on November 1st, we will be having a Take Back the Vote rally. And so we'll be taking people that we've been able, you know, we've been talking to over the past week here in Liberty City, and putting out some of the skits that we've been doing to talk about the history of disenfranchisement, but also bringing out all the monitors that we know have been denied access into the polls, and putting out a public statement. On the day of the elections, actually a number of our members are poll workers and will be working within the polls in the area, but there will also be groups. Small groups of people who will be out kind of raising concern and kind of trying to expose, like, you know, what is happening that day, putting some kind of pressure on whatever processes are happening there, but also putting up some messages to the media that are going to be kind of surrounding the polls. What we do have is internally for people that we've been speaking to, if we hear of anything that happened, we're going to try and send some folks out to do a level of response and direct action if anything does happen. And then what we've also put out widely is that depending on what happens, regardless of who wins, that we would be out on November 3rd to hold whichever candidate accountable and put forward our concerns about the war and about the economy and things that we're usually fighting for, but then also to respond if there's any specific things that happen in the Elections Department.
All right. Thanks a lot. This is you listening to Sushma Sheath, who is a staff organizer at the Miami Worker Center. This is KPFK 90.7 Los Angeles, 98.7 Santa Barbara, and we'll be right back with Triana Selton.
Joseph Malcolm X, what may God bring?